Oh, go ahead, say it. I am.
Awesome.
I am.
I am.
Awesome. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Got to claim it to be it. Yeah. Got to claim it to be it. And you are awesome. So, why don't we do our mission statement?
We
are a heart-centered spiritual community dedicated to empowering personal transformation and living the unlimited possibilities of spirit. One more time. We are a heart-centered spiritual community dedicated to empowering personal transformation and living the unlimited possibilities of spirit. Okay. I was wondering if there's anyone here with us for the first time today. If this is your first time today, we invite you to raise your hand. We won't ask you to stand up, introduce yourself, or anything like that, but we have a pack of information for you. On the outside of the packet, there's a cloth rose. You can affix it to your clothes. It won't harm in any way, but it will invite other people to come up and welcome you in a much more personal way. And inside the envelope, there's lots and lots of information about Unity Church, our mission, our purpose. There's a newsletter that we just finished printing the other day. And there's a coupon that if you fill out and return to the bookstore, that they'll give you a special gift. But it's indeed our deepest hope and desire that something stirs within you that causes you to return. And we say, welcome home. And if you decide to stay for lunch, which we always have lunch every week, it's our form of communion, getting heart-centered with each and every person. That rose will get you to the front of the food line. And there's always great stuff to eat. So you don't want to see the stuff disappearing. And we also, did I say namaste? And we also say namaste. We'll do it again. The light within me greets the light within you. Namaste. I invite you to say namaste to somebody close to you. I was wondering, is it good if a vacuum cleaner really sucks? I don't know. And why is the third hand on the watch called the second hand? And if a word is misspelled in the dictionary, which I'm sure it is, how will we ever know? Yeah. And why is phonics not spelled like it sounds? And why do you press harder on the buttons on a remote when you know that the batteries are dead? Am I the only one that does that? Oh my gosh. You do know that removing the blocks in our awareness can set us free. Right? That's what those jokes, those thoughts are actually about. Setting our awareness free. I am the light of the world. So I allow my light to shine into the darkness that I see. Can y'all affirm that with me one more time? I am the light of the world, so I allow my light to shine into the darkness I see. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, when Elohim, the divine oneness, created the heavens and the earth was a formless void. And the darkness covered the face of the deep. And the breath of life swept over the face of the living waters. Then Elohim said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. Hmm. Okay. There it is. No, that's not it either. But ever since then, that when God created heaven's earth in Genesis 1 and 2, we've been into debate. Humankind has been into debate on this idea of light and darkness. It seems to be, for many people, the one thing throughout the Bible that we think is there. This contrast between the forces of light and the forces of darkness. You know, it continues on and on and on, you know, and you know, it happens out. It starts in this way of being that we forget the part that we enter into the Garden of Eden, right? We're created and placed in the Garden of Eden, which we're all in still. And then we bite into the fruits of the knowledge of good and evil, into the fruits of duality. And we get kicked out of the garden. We don't get kicked out. We leave automatically because you can't be in the garden judging. Can't labeling something dark and light. And this we see darkness as evil and light as good. Everywhere we go, and we begin to define. And these definitions become our way of life. And when we do that, when we bite into that fruits of duality, we go live in Nod. Right? And everybody knows, well, some of y'all know, that Nod is the place of afflictions. Right? If you knew that biting into the fruits of the knowledge of good and evil would lead you into the place of Nod, that place of afflictions, would you bite into that fruit any longer? Labeling good and bad and badder and worst. Because if you turn on a TV, right? If you turn on the TV, what are you going to hear about? Bad and badder, all the bad stuff going on. Have you ever turned on the TV news and it says, well, today is just an amazing day. It's 85 degrees. The sun is out. The sky is blue. And there's a nice soft wind. You ever turned on the news and found that to be the case? You know, so the mortal mind, Western culture, has got lost into this conflict between good and bad, right and wrong, right? One of the things that's on that missing page is that Jesus said, you know, he had this, you know, if you look through the Bible, you begin to see that there's actually over 500 conversations about this battle between the light and the darkness, what we call the battle between the light and darkness. And Jesus said 40 of them, right? And he said, one of the places he said is, if your eye be single, right? How great the light that is within you. But if your eye is filled with darkness, how great the darkness, right? So, if your eye be single, that light be full of light. So, is he saying that our eyeballs, that our eyes are like a flashlight, glowing with light, or darkness when you shut it off? Is that what he's saying? Right? So when you're talking about good and evil, good, light, and darkness, are blind people innately blind? Are blind people innately dark, evil? Huh? Is that what that means? Is there a great darkness within them? Huh? Because most every blind person I have ever met, they had this inner sense about them that they could see and sense a completely different reality. They could sense the wonder within all of life. They had a special sense within them, an inner eye which would help them to see life more clearly, although they couldn't see the physical world. So I don't really believe Jesus was referring to the physical eye. What do y'all think? The lens, the optic nerve, but rather our perception of the world, which tints the way we see the events. In her DVD series, Byron Katie shares how our beliefs and our perceptions about people and events in our life hold us as prisoners in our mind. Our beliefs, our perceptions hold us as prisoners in our mind. There's an old German folktale that tells the tale of a man whose axe was missing. The suspect, his neighbor's son, he believed, had stolen it. The boy walked like a thief. He looked like a thief. He spoke like a thief. And then the man found his axe while digging in his valley. And the next time he saw his neighbor's son, the boy walked and looked and spoke like any other child. In that folk tale, a man that lost his axe and his own confusion concluded that that boy was a thief. And so whenever he saw that boy, the idea of a thief came to his mind. So the boy became more and more guilty, and all the evidence available to that man would have convicted him. When the axe was found, the boy was somehow transformed. Now that man had the idea of a normal everyday boy in his eyes. The single element that determined that boy's fundamental character was the eye of the man who was doing the seeing. What we believe to be true tints the way we perceive, the way we live, and how we see the world. As Byron Katie points out, we must learn how to question our beliefs and our so-called evidence if we truly want to be free of our ego. And everybody knows the right way to say that is ego, right? So that when we're free of the ego, we can live happy, healthy lives. If we look out at the world with a healthy eye, with a single eye, we see through the light of the divine. And we see God's creation as it was intended and created to be. It's all good and gooder, right? That's the correct English way to say it. Good and gooder. It's good, gooder, and goodest. We look at everything we experience with the wonder and curiosity of a child and are able to see beyond that outer shell of a thing or of a person to see its intrinsic nature. As a result, our whole being glows with the energy and enthusiasm through which we are viewing the world. If, however, we are looked out upon the world through our mortal eyes and perceptions that we have learned, we see the dualistic nature of this physical realm. Living in a land of Nod, seeing both good and evil, right and wrong, darkness and light, and our body and mind are filled by the way we have judged the world to be. We are held prisoners to these beliefs and these perceptions locked away in the prison of our mind. We've all known people who get up in the morning and everything they see is dark and wrong. They view the life and they say, oh, this ain't good. Right? And they look at, you know, there's another problem. And they focus on the darkness instead of the light. As a result of this darkness, it permeates their whole being. You can feel the negative energy just radiating out from them, which creates a problem for each and every one of us. Why? Because when we recognize the negative energy and the darkness flowing out of them, we're held in bondage to that energy and the way that they see the world. Every quality we see in another, we have within ourselves. So we need to learn to transform it. You know, because what we can't be with won't let us be. This reminds me of a children's story called The Monster in My Closet. Every night, a little boy would climb the stairs and go upstairs and then go down the hallway to get into his bedroom. And he just knew something was living underneath the bed or over there in his closet. And it was there waiting to get him. Every night, he'd go through the same process with his parents, and they would check all the rooms and make sure there wasn't any monster lying in wait. They check under the bed and in the closet, and after going through the ritual that lasted as long as it possibly could, the little boy asked his parents to leave the hallway light on. Eventually, he'd fall asleep, and the morning would come, and it was like a victory because he had made it through the night. And then one night, that monster snuck out into the light of the hallway, and it began to cry because it was lonely, and it just wanted to snuggle up next to that little boy. All that monster wanted was love and attention. And the light dissolved its fears. The metaphor is that we all have trials and tribulations. We all know the darkness. But to move beyond that state of mind and begin to experience the good life, we must take a step up higher and turn to and begin to look for the light in every situation and shine that light out into the darkness until we find the light. Traditionally, this theme of light and darkness has been focus of great battles between the forces of good and evil, fighting for your soul, needing to defend yourself against this force of darkness. Have you ever heard that story told before? Curious. We're in Oklahoma. I believe Jesus was trying to share a very different idea. This world is an incredible place with many wonders. And we can focus on the wonders in the realm of infinite possibilities available to us, or we can moan and complain about all the things that have seemingly gone wrong and all the monumental challenges that lie before us, allowing us to take us to live in a state of depression. The eye of the lamp of the body. So if your eye is single, focused on the good, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is focused on what is wrong, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if the light in you is darkness, how great the darkness. We live in the most incredible nation on earth. We really do. And it affords us so many wonderful opportunities to express God's goodness, and yet there are so many people waiting for the stock market report at the end of the day, the job report, or this report to tell us how we've got to be feeling during that day. So many people waiting to find out if their political party is going to win or the bill that they have in Congress is going to pass. But you know what? None of that has anything to do with you, with your ability to experience the light that you are, or to live abundantly and being blessed in this world. The eye of the lamp of the body. If your eye is single, you are focused on goodness all around you. And then your whole body is filled with light. Do you live in oneness, or do you live in duality? Once there was a minister who was speaking during a church service, and there in the second row sat a rather rotund, unkempt man. And the minister thought that man needs to learn how to dress better. And he should put on a tie and straighten it, and that man should get better dressed and button up his shirt. After the service, the minister stood by the door, and that man passed by. And he gave that minister a big hug and said, "You know, several people said they really enjoyed my talk. They thought I was you." The minister thought that was one of the worst compliments that he had ever got. He had been going to the health club and working out. He had stood in front of the mirror every morning to make sure that he looked good. He had a new suit and clean and pressed shirt and had learned how to straighten out his tie in the right and perfect way. How could they think that that man was him? That afternoon, he mentioned it to the senior minister of that church, who said, "Oh, yes, that's Willie. Everybody knows Willie. Everybody loves Willie. Willie is Mr. Love himself. And when he finds someone who needs kind words, he's there. When somebody needs a visitation at home, Willie is there. Willie is just the epitome of everything it is to live the life of Jesus the Christ." The minister went home that and thought, "If only I could really live as good as Willie." Life is that way. If we could in every instance take a view from the high and see the picture of life, if we could in every situation look into life, in the lives that we would criticize, and see the divine light within them, not the darkness, then we would be viewing ourselves as the infinite oneness views us. And we would have a very different opinion, seeing beyond the outer shell, beyond the outer appearances, into the heart, where there once would have seen an angry, upset person seeking to harm us, we would now see a desperate person looking for a solution and answers to challenges. Late in his ministry, Jesus told a parable. "The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. And the foolish ones took their lamps, but they had no oil. While the wise took extra flasks of oil for their lamps. The groom was delayed, and the bridesmaid became drowsy and fell asleep. And at midnight, there was a loud shout. There, look, there he comes. The groom is on his way. Come out, everybody, to meet him. And all the bridesmaids got up and turned on their lamps. And the foolish one said to the wise one, give us some of your oil, for we have none for our lamps, and they're going out. But the wise one replied, no, there will not be enough for you and for us. You better go to the dealers and buy some. And while they were gone, the groom came, and those who were ready went into the banquet hall with them, and they shut the door. Later, the foolish bridesmaid came knocking on the door, saying, Lord, 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 open up, let us in. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I do not know you. And Jesus ended the parable by saying, keep awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour. In his discussion of the light and darkness, and experience in the kingdom of heaven, this realm of infinite possibilities, Jesus did not point out the good to claim and embrace while pushing away what lies at the darkness. No, in his metaphor, the bridesmaids carrying the lanterns waiting for the groom, he pointed out the need to make sure that we are prepared and that we are carrying enough oil so that we can see clearly. Empowered by the light of illumination, we see beyond the appearances into the heart. Metaphorically, the lantern in our thoughts that glows with the light of the sacred energy of life. The oil is our spiritual illumination. We all have access to divine substance, which surrounds and unfolds us in each and every moment, which can provide us with the illumination we need. The wise seek the divine substance of illumination ahead of time, and so they're prepared. So when the living energy passes by, they're ready to enter into the abide and abide in awareness of this living matrix, to feast upon life's goodness. When they do, they get the oil for their illumination. We get it through establishing our spiritual discipline. All right. We get the illumination we need by establishing our spiritual discipline. Prayer, meditation, and seeking the goodness in all life. Wow. How are we shut out of the kingdom? We get caught up in the physical world of our sense mind and fail to take the steps to spiritually prepare ourselves. As a result, we perceive that we are separate from God, separate from the living energy that we live, move, and have our being in. The message of the parable is, be ready. Be prepared for the coming of the Christ, coming of the living energy, for we know not when we will move by that activity of that breath of God flowing through us in the moment. Longtime Unity minister Ernest Wilson wrote, to demonstrate the good we seek, we must be so much imbued by the light that we are filled by and enter into upon it, and then the darkness will cease to exist. Except in the sense that we recognize it for what it is, a temporal appearance, a shadow, a picture on a screen. To love goodness is not the same as to fear or battle the darkness. One does not fight shadows. One brings into light, and the shadows are dissolved. Better to acknowledge it for what it is, a projection of human thought. Yes, I see it, but I do not accept it. I will open my inner eyes and the darkness will be gone. I am the light of the world. So I allow my light to shine into the darkness I see. Can you all affirm that with me one more time, please? I am the light of the world. So I allow my light to shine into the darkness I see. Well, I invite our